Well, good morning to John's church family and all who are listening, and thanks for tuning in on Life FM or via our website. I'm Philip Burns, and this is the podcast of St. John's Presbyterian Church in Forest Street, Bendigo. Our first hymn this morning will be Standing on the Promises. On this morning's podcast, we're coming to the last in the series on the life and ministry of Elisha the prophet. There'll be more hymns and songs that will praise the name of our great God. Matthew and Courtney will read the scriptures for us. There'll be a message for the children. And later in the hour, I'll bring a message from God's word to teach and encourage us. But now, Keith will lead us in prayer.
As we come to a time of prayer, I remind you of a Bible incident to bring you encouragement and hope. Jesus was with his disciples in a fishing boat on the Sea of Galilee. He was tired and was asleep in the stern. A great squall came up, and these disciples, some of them are fishermen used to these storms, panicked. They were afraid they were going to drown. So they woke Jesus and accused him of not caring if they drowned. The remarkable thing is, he stood in the boat and spoke to the wind and the waves, saying, "Peace, be still." We're told that the storm abated immediately and it was completely calm. Many people in our country and around the world are just as fearful today, but the beaut thing is this: just as Jesus was physically there with his disciples in that boat, so he is right now spiritually present with all his disciples all over the world. But the one who is with us is still master. And he is with us now, and he will always be with us, whatever happens to us. So in our prayers, we will give thanks to God for the encouragement and hope that we have in Jesus. As we are instructed to in the Bible, we will also pray for those who are sick, and for our leaders, and for the nation. So let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, it's a wonderful thing to be able to call you Father. You have adopted us into your family, and you have declared us to be your children. We have the wonderful promise of Jesus that there isn't and there will never be a time when he isn't with us. Encourage us with that thought, and constantly remind us of our blessed hope. Thank you that even in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic, you have not abandoned us. So still our fears, strengthen our faith, and enable us to stand firm in the days that lie ahead. You instruct us to pray for those who are sick, and that's what we want to do. But we also want to pray for those who are caring for the sick. We hear on the news about those afflicted with the coronavirus, though we remember too there are many others afflicted with many other varieties of sickness. And we think of those with cancer, or liver disease, or lung diseases, or chemical imbalances, and the list goes on. Many of our family members and friends suffer from these afflictions. We commit them to you, asking that your all-sufficient grace be poured out on them, and that you sustain them, strengthen them, and encourage them during their incapacity. We ask, Lord, for those who are caring for the sick. Give them wisdom in their diagnosing, and as they develop treatment plans, that their patients may receive the best possible treatment and care. Many of our health workers are under great stress at the moment, and we commit them to your care. Pour out your grace on them, sustain them, and enable them to have sufficient rest and recuperation so that they may be enabled to endure the current crisis. So too we commit to you our leaders, the Prime Minister and the members of Cabinet, the State Premiers, and chief ministers, the chief medical officers, the police commissioners, and all others with added responsibilities. They're under a lot of stress and strain. They have to make necessary, though often unpopular, decisions. We share in their disquiet at the decisions they have to make. We ask you to give our leaders the wisdom and the clarity of thought they need to make wise decisions and to devise sensible courses of actions for us to follow. We ask too that you sustain our leaders so that they can endure for the long haul during this pandemic. Many in our nation are fearful and afraid at the moment. We ask you to relieve those fears. We ask that you enable us all to support our leaders' decisions, that you would inhibit our feelings of rebellion against the things we don't like, and sustain us as we adapt to a new way of living. We offer you these, our prayers and the unspoken prayers of our hearts, in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
This is Matthew, and this morning I'll be reading from 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 10 to 21. In the 37th year of Joash, king of Judah, Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, began to reign over Israel and Samaria, and he reigned 16 years. He also did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel a sin, but he walked in them. Now the rest of the acts of Joash, and all that he did, and the might with which he fought against Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the books of the chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Joash slept with his fathers, and Jeroboam sat on his throne. And Joash was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. Now when Elisha had fallen sick with the illness of which he was to die, Joash, king of Israel, went down to him and wept before him, crying, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And Elisha said to him, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, "Draw the bow." And he drew it. And Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands. And he said, "Open the window eastward." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Syria. For you shall fight the Syrians in Aphek until you have made an end of them." And he said, "Take the arrows." And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, "Strike the ground with them." And he struck three times and stopped. Then the man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck down Syria until you had made an end of it. But now you will strike down Syria only three times." So Elisha died, and they buried him. Now bands of Moabites used to invade the land in the spring of the year. And as a man was being buried, behold, a marauding band was seen, and the man was thrown into the grave of Elisha. And as soon as the man touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. Our next song will be Worthy of All Praise.
Well, it's time for the children's talk. It's Philip again here, and I'm wondering how you go at touching things. Touch is one of our five senses we don't think about very much, because we grow up with it, and we do it all the time. Think for a moment, if you can, of all the things that you touch during an average kind of day. We could probably come up with a list, and to do so we'd have to touch something, either a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper, or a keyboard, or a touchpad, or something like that. So there's a few already, but there's heaps more. You touch your nose to scratch it, your hair to put it right, your pet because it's cute, likes to be patted, your knife and fork, your handlebars on your bike or scooter, the ball you're about to kick or hit, your shoes and socks and heaps of other clothes to put them on, your school books and schoolwork, a remote for the TV, if you can find it, the car door handle and your seat belt, and on that list could go. And then there's things that you touch that you might wish you didn't have to touch. You might have to clean up and pack away all those toys. You might even have to clean up after your dog. Yuck. Or touch that smelly garbage bin that we talked about a few weeks ago. Or touch something like a worm or a slug or a bug. Some people find those really hard to be even near, let alone touch them. We read about touch also in the Bible. You might remember the woman who came up to Jesus to touch the hem of his robe in the hope that she might be healed. You might remember too that after Jesus was raised from the dead, he said to his disciples, who thought that he was a ghost, "Touch me and see, for a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as you see that I have." In the Old Testament, God also told his people that they were not to touch certain things. This included certain kinds of animals, dead or alive, and the list also included people that had died. I don't think that God gave this warning to his people because they wanted to go around touching dead bodies, but it was a reminder to them that if they happened to come into contact with someone who is dead, then they were best not to touch it, or they'd be unclean and couldn't take part in the worship of God for a time. And that's a rule that was for the people long ago, but thankfully it doesn't apply to us now. But in our Bible reading this morning, we had this happen. Elisha died, and his body was placed into a tomb, something like a cave made out of rock. And it happened that nearby that tomb, some men of Israel were burying another man. That is, until they saw some enemies from the country of Moab coming towards them. At that, they stopped burying the man, but put his body into the tomb where Elisha's body had been placed. And when the body of the dead man touched Elisha's bones, the man came alive again. I mean, how's that for incredible? But amazing as that was, there's something even more amazing than that. Did you know that when Jesus was on earth, he didn't conduct one funeral service? That wasn't because nobody died around him, lots did. But every time Jesus came into contact with a dead person, every time Jesus touched them or spoke their name, that person lived again. The most well-known of all the stories is that of Lazarus. You might like to read his story in John chapter 11. He'd been dead for 3 days or more, but when Jesus went to his tomb and called out his name, Lazarus came back from the dead. There hasn't been anyone else in all of history who can do that. And this reminds us that Jesus is the Son of God. And as the Son of God, this is what he promised. John 5:25, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." He also said, John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe on me, then you'll never die." This is really good news for those who put their faith in Jesus. Have you done that? It's the best thing of all to do. Hope to see you soon.
This is Courtney, and this morning I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Our next song will be, "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me."
Well, that's all from us at St. John's Presbyterian Church, Bendigo, this Sunday morning. And we'd like to express our grateful thanks to Life FM for hosting this podcast each week. My name is Philip Burns. It's been great to have you listen in via Life FM or via our website, bendigopc.org.au. You can find there all our contact details, and information on how you too can come to know the salvation that comes by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Join us again next Sunday at 9 a.m. on Life FM, or better still, if lockdown restrictions aren't in place, join us at 10:30 a.m. at our church building on the corner of Forest and Mackenzie Streets in central Bendigo. Until then, may God grant you his peace, his blessing, and his grace this day as you walk with him and serve in his name.